Hi there. Welcome back to another talk from the more lightning end of the scale. But I guess times like these, we all can do with a bit of light. So today, my talk will be about software aesthetics, about a rather different kind of quality that code should have. Code. First you write it, you create it, then it gets modified. Code isn't, there's new requirements, code was buggy, code was too slow, whatever, it gets modified. To modify it, it must be understandable. And of course, it also must be correct in the end. The last quality, the last item is about the computer, the only thing that the computer is concerned with, whether the code is correct or not. It doesn't care about understandability or whether you can modify it or who created it or whatever. The first three items are about humans, their activities, what they do with the code, how they operate on the code, how they interact with the code. And we humans, we have feelings, we associate with the code. We need to be happy about the code that we look at, that we modify, that we write. It's that much more productive if your work is a pleasure rather than a pain. So that's where it's important that the code is not only correct, but also has aesthetic qualities so that it can evoke positive emotions in you when you look at the code and feel kind of happy about the code you interact with, happy about the work you do. The code must be aesthetically pleasing. Well, that's a requirement, of course. It's also where trouble begins. Because there's aesthetics, different kinds of aesthetics. What we software aficionados are often attracted by is aesthetics like a stamp collection, like some circuitry, like even some notation. Maybe you can't understand it, but you can look at it and feel pleased by these regular structures, repeating structures. There's some order in there. Things are sorted into categories, like these stamps. Looking at these things, you feel like you have control over the world. So that's why many people think that these kind of aesthetic, visual aesthetics are pleasing to them. They give you a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's something you can understand. You have full control. You feel good. And then there's also this. There's things that are aesthetically pleasing too in a very different way, in a more raw, in a more chaotic way where there's no apparent order. It's wild and you may feel a bit lost. And even that spaghetti does have visually appealing qualities and it's delicious. But you always have to be reminded that there's not only this one kind of aesthetics that might give you a warm, fuzzy feeling, but there's also this other kind of aesthetics that may make you feel lost and you need to struggle a bit to find your way around it. And that's the same with code, or that relates to to the code. So with code, you can also look at it like you can look at a score for a piece of music and you don't understand it, but you can look at it and see how appealing, how beautiful these symbols are when they are printed on sheet over sheet over sheet. And that's like looking at beautifully formatted code, maybe. But for code, another important quality is not how it is formatted, but also how it solves a problem. And that's another quality of beauty that lies deeper than the mere formatting whatever random idea somebody had about how to format the code exactly. So you need to abstract from what you see directly to what lies under it, to what is the meaning, the intent, whatever distorted way maybe it was used to write it down. Like in this first example where there's random places, where there's spaces that maybe shouldn't be there, but don't matter in the end. You get the idea and you see the essence, the simplicity of that quicksort thing, as well as in the other one where there's more concentration on how to format it beautifully. And that also carries over to the other aspect of how we operate on the code. We don't only write it, we also need to modify it. And we need to look at these modifications. They need to make sense. So when you make a change to the LibreOffice code, then somebody else will look at that change and will say, yeah, that looks good to do these changes, or says, nah, the end result is not what I would want. So somebody needs to look at all these modifications that you do. And there's aesthetic qualities in that as well. It's not only about what the resulting code looks like, but also what the modification itself looks like. It's a different kind of aesthetics. The surrounding code may be raw and chaotic and wild, like that Pollock painting, but you're putting some kind of order into this, some way of getting control again over this chaotic sea of malformatted whatever, where you have to dive in. And you do that by making sure that when you look at the modification, just the lines changed, then make sure that this is something that is pretty, that is coherent, that is understandable. So, for example, if there's a need to change one if condition and you see that is formatted not to your liking, why would you need to modify another if condition that is equally not to your liking, but is completely unrelated to what you need to change? There's no point in doing that. It just distracts, and the end result, the result of the modification itself is less beautiful, is less appealing, is less of an aesthetic quality. So what you want to strive for is changes that are minimal, because that's more appealing or more has more of an aesthetic quality if you look at the change itself. The code, the overall code, that's ugly anyway. So there's this Pollock Shewolf painting. And no matter what. So if you change all the lines to your liking, then the next one will change the lines again to their liking, and the end result is a mess again, spaghetti all over the plate. Anyway, so why bother? Just make sure your change, when you look at just the changed lines, has aesthetic qualities. And that also helps the other guys who do the reviews of your code. Because the less lines, the less distracting lines to look at, of course, the easier for them. The one poor choice, or the unfortunate choice we did, of course, was with this Clang format settings that we use for newly written code, where we enforce it. Those are settings that needlessly tend to switch the layout, so that if you change a little piece of code, then the surrounding lines will change as well, needlessly. So if you have a longer statement that is wrapped over multiple lines, then it rewraps in a different way. And so you don't get minimal changes with that, which is rather unfortunate, but that's what we picked there. And we use Clang format only because we don't want to have unnecessary modifications. So there's no way to pick better options there. We're stuck with these settings that we once chose. Unfortunate, but that's life. Well, and then when you wrote your code, and there's these other software enthusiasts that'll get in your way. It's vitally important that when you write code, that you take pride in it, that you're attached to it, that you have positive feelings about the code you write, because you want to write it in a perfect way. You want to take responsibility for what you do. You want to do good. You want to make sure that this is code that is working, that is understandable, that is pleasing. You want to have warm, fuzzy feelings about your code. That's all important. But then these other guys come in and trample all over your code and do whatever they think is necessary to get the code to actually do what it is supposed to do. And they modify it. And they modify it in a way where you shriek, where you say, "Ugh, look at that. How ugly. How dare they?" Well, yeah, that's life. You have to live with that. Step back, relax. It's still your code that it once was, just modified. Look at the modifications. They are hopefully small, as we talked about. So they are reasonable, even if the end result is no longer how you would have formatted it. That doesn't matter. And very important part, you're still the domain expert on that piece of code. So even if somebody else mangled it and tortured it to their way of writing down something, you still have the understanding of all this. And so if somebody else comes with another modification request, then you're still supposed to look at that, and you're still supposed to take responsibility for this code, even if someone else messed with it, or you no longer think, "Oh, that's beautiful code." You no longer have this warm, fuzzy feeling when you look at it again after a while. Maybe it's like raising a child a bit. It starts out with you have to have full control over it. You have to be around for it all the time, and then it grows up and goes its own ways, and you can't do anything about that. You have to live with that, but you're still their parent. You're still in a way responsible for them until they move out completely. So be prepared that the code you write today will take on a life of its own and move on, but you're still attached to it, and that's important. Or to look at it from a kind of different angle, from a more bucolic metaphor. You have this code, you create it, and then you unleash it on the commons, where it strives, where also others will see it, will think, what can I do with that? Can I help that code along? Can I do anything of value to that code? Can that code be of value to me? So they will kind of shepherd your code cows as well. And be thankful about that. Be humble, be grateful. And don't think, oh, look at what they did to my code cows. They are all pink now. Yeah, just doesn't matter that much. So, thanks for listening. That's it. Thanks for listening wherever you are. Have a good time. Bye-bye.